Coming up next is a special edition of Radio Free Penn State, the Lions Public Affairs Talk Show. Today, we fondly remember Robert Zimmerman, a broadcasting legend and perhaps the greatest advocate for student radio at Penn State. The opinions expressed on today's show absolutely do reflect those of the Lion 90.7 FM and the entire Penn State radio community. For a copy of today's program, please email business@thelion.fm. Please join us now in sharing fond memories of Mr. Z. Rest in peace, Bob. We'll never forget you.
Hi, I'm Graham Spanier, president of Penn State University. And you could greatly enhance your chances of getting a degree by listening to
Radio Free Penn State!
90.7 FM. WKPS.
And I never listen to
Radio Free Penn State.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
And welcome back, everybody, to Radio Free Penn State, everyone's favorite student public affairs radio program right here on the line, 90.7 FM. I'm Andy, your friendly neighborhood annihilator, and boy, do we have a special show for everybody today. Joining me are my sidekicks, co-hosts, panelists, first and foremost, Mr. Sinatra, Mike Walsh, former student of Mr. Bob Zimmerman, and great friend and advocate, integral parts of the line, 90.7 FM. How are you today, my friend?
Of course, Penn State's seen much brighter days when Mr. Z was around, but I'm very happy to be able to contribute to the program today, so thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Also joining us on the panel today, contributing when they can, current students, though not students of Mr. Zimmerman, we have Mr. Tom Shakely, financial director of the Line 90.7 FM.
How's it going, Andy?
Good. Good to have you here again as well today, and also coming in... From the Board of Trustees meeting, the president of the UPUA, the University Park Undergraduate Association, Mr. Jay Chamberlain, coming back on the show. How are you?
Today was a good day for the most part.
Okay. I'm glad to see that you're here today, and congratulations to you, by the way, as being the new, quote-unquote, student trustee. Am I correct in that?
Well, Galen's the student trustee.
Is he still it? I thought you were taking over for him.
No. The way that works as far as my knowledge of the process is that it's a 3-year term, and he serves that term until 2008, and then they select a person via an application process or something, I believe.
Okay, so I thought you were taking over for him, but nevertheless, you were at the trustees meeting, and just quickly before we get into today's show and open up the phone lines, I just want to ask you, there was mention, as I understand, at the trustees meeting regarding Mr. Z.
Yes, he was mentioned today. After the new president of the Board of Trustees took over, he briefly mentioned something about Mr. Zimmerman in remembrance of him.
Okay, well, let's get started, guys. We've got a special show today. We've been plugging it all week long. We've been talking about it all week. This is a memorial show to commemorate Mr. Zimmerman for everything he stood for and for everything that he meant to so many people here, former students, colleagues, co-workers, peers, and all kinds of business partners, and anybody out there that would like to jump in on the show today and comment or share some story that they have having interacted and dealing with Mr. Zimmerman, anybody out there that feels as though Mr. Z made any kind of an impact on their lives at any point in time in any way, please give us a call. Share your experiences with us. Share your experiences with the rest of the community. Our number is 865-9577, 865-WKPS. You can catch us over the internet, www.thelion.fm is the new website, and you can catch the web stream on there as well. 865-9577. Also, Radio Free PSU is the AOL Instant Messenger screen name. Let's get started, guys. I want to just kick it off a little bit. I got some pre-recorded clips already from some people that gave me some anecdotes. But first, I kind of want to start with you, Mike. You're a former student of Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes.
And why don't you kind of just guide the discussion along with us, help us along here. You, as a former student of Mr. Z, give it to us in a nutshell as far as, like, what was the main thing that he impressed upon you as a teacher as compared to any other teacher you had at Penn State, and what was his main claim to fame that made him such a great instructor?
Well, I mean, we've heard for the last few days now so many great things about Mr. Z, and one of the things I've really enjoyed with Radio Free this week has been the people calling in and hearing their impressions and what they feel. And then, of course, we had the memorial service today and the viewing yesterday, and we heard even more great stories, and we shared a bunch of stories amongst each other last night at Ruby Tuesday. And the one thing that I really wanted to impress upon Mrs. Zimmerman is, you know, what a void there is now. What just a colossal missing fixture for the student body, for his mentoring gifts, for his ability to inspire people, somebody that we could learn from and turn to. And I often tell a story that's really not fit for the airwaves of Mr. Zimmerman really letting me know who he was when I first met him up in Hershey Park in a real way. And he let me know who was boss. And I kind of always, you know, at the time I wondered, well, what was that all about? And I saw him do it to every subsequent GM of the station afterwards. And it was just his way of saying, you know, I know what I'm talking about, and establishing that, you know, he was someone that not only you could deal with, but that he would deal with you if necessary. And the thing about Mr. Z is, I learned from that. I mean, this guy was real. This was someone who wasn't hitting you with a bunch of platitudes. They weren't playing, you know, academic games. He wasn't interested in little theoretical fiefdoms that abound everywhere at Penn State, or political agendas. I mean, this was a man who had this was a man who had a real love for, Andy, what you and I have termed so often the craft of radio. And this was a man who really wanted to teach students. And as we heard so often today, tough love was a kind of calling card of his. And it was at times confusing. You didn't really know why he would say or do something, but you would learn over years and experience that whether you thought he was right or wrong about something, this man would do things and be in your corner because he cared. And he cared a lot about not just myself, but so many students. I mean, you got it in his class. You got it on his own personal time. You got it when he would go to meetings with us. I mean, this was a guy who really cared, not just about student radio, not just about broadcasting. He cared about people, and he cared about students, and he cared about making sure that when you left Penn State, you weren't just kind of going into the wilderness, and you weren't lost out in the world. And he would help you. He would find you internships. He would find you job opportunities. He would give you references. He would give you tips. I mean, he shared his time, he shared his insights, but he also did it in such a way as if you responded with respect to him, and if you responded in such a way that you gave deference, which he rightly earned and deserved, he would not talk down to you. He would not act, you know, as if I am the God on high. I mean, he was one of the guys, and one of the things I really miss is just the ability to shoot the breeze with him and not be caught up in this kind of hierarchical thing you get from a lot of professors,
right?
You know, where I've got the knowledge and I'm going to instruct you, and right. So I've kind of rambled on there, but
that's a great way to describe it all. Also joining us on the show is Mr. Brandon Peach, current general manager, student general manager of the Lion 90.7.
And thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, even under the circumstances. And I think that what better way than to have us all here reminiscing about Bob Zimmerman.
Thanks, Brandon. We're going to first go to the phone lines, and we have Gil Thomas on the line from CBS. Hello, Mr. Thomas.
It's Thompson.
Thompson, I'm sorry.
And it's ex-CBS. Okay.
Former CBS.
Okay, I spoke with someone at Bob's funeral today, and he said he had been in a class that where I was substituting with Bob.
That was me, Mr. Thompson.
Okay. All righty. Now, just, as a matter of interest, I pulled out a couple of comments that were made about Mr. Z when he came into one of my marketing classes, and I've got it dated March the 23rd, 2000, okay? And the student's comments about Bob's presence, it says, what helps you in selling? He says, smile, eye contact, speak up, keep your eyes open for opportunities, and study who is running the business, in other words, the owner. Most companies die from within, and I'll just give you one more student comment. As sales managers, and these are comments about Bob's presentation in my class, sales managers must be responsible for others. Moving from a salesperson to a sales manager means getting things accomplished to other people, your salespeople. As a salesperson or sales manager, you must maintain eye contact and continue to smile, must have emotional stability, fire in the gut, motivation. And the last student comment is intelligence equal people smarts. These are feedback from Bob's involvement in front of Penn State students.
Excellent. Those are certainly words to live by. Mr. Thompson, what interactions have you had with Mr. Z, be it within broadcasting or outside of broadcasting?
Okay, well, Bob and I were one of the three broadcast pioneers in State College. Art Stober is the other one. And having spent 10 years with CBS, ABC Television, last position in Columbia Records, director of background music, we had a lot in common and knew each other and Jane as friends, as co-members of the State College Kiwanis Club. And so as far as knowing him as a professional broadcaster, a friend, and just a smart guy that students loved, and there's three comments on here. The student comment I missed, it says, work hard, be smart, and work the system. They're Bob Zimmerman's words, apparently, that the student wrote down. Anything else that I can give you while I'm here?
Yeah, any, what would broadcasting have been like had there been no Bob Zimmerman in this local market and in State College and in Happy Valley?
Well, Bob was an innovator and a hard worker, and he would work from morning till night, and as an image of somebody that really is not modern today. In other words, people want a job, but as far as Bob Zimmerman, you want somebody that wants to work. And so that if he could work 12 hours, he figured you could also. And as a salesperson, really on commission, the job hours never begin and end. The more you work, the more money you make. And
that's a sort of work ethic that, as you said, is really not seen these days. Bob worked just as hard for this radio station, which is not for profit, which he didn't make any money off of, worked as hard to get these students to where they needed to be as he did in the classroom and as he did with his radio ventures, which is really remarkable, particularly considering the quality of people that we get at Penn State that volunteer for student advisors. You don't see that anymore. It really harkens back to a time where people believe that a good solid work ethic really made the man.
Mr. Thompson, if I could kind of pick up on that point and ask you a question, it would be that today Bob was described as one of the last true broadcasters, and I know that you are a man of great experience and a pioneer in the market, And I'm curious if you could kind of describe what exactly that means to have been one of the last true broadcasters as opposed to somebody in the industry today.
Okay, I'll just give you a couple of impressions. There was a television program that started in Philadelphia, WCAU-TV, and it was the first CBS cowboy program on television. And I had the pleasure to be on that show, and it was on the coaxial cable when the CBS, I think the network was only went to Chicago. But I think the point being that that whole approach at trying something new, we had Action in the Afternoon on television for a year because of somebody's idea and something he thought would work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the same ethic as far as Bob was concerned. He was that type of a hardworking, new idea type of smart person. And actually, anybody's interested, you can go to Google and look up Gil Thompson with one L, and it'll pop up there as a broadcast pioneer on a horse. And so that was in the talent days of broadcasting, but the entrance that I think Bob and I agreed on is the best way for a student to get into broadcasting is through sales. And you get into the station. And another comment is that radio is more fun than television. Having worked for ABC television and CBS television, I agree. It really was a fun industry, hardworking, and your attitude's got to be that as far as being in talent, that you're going to change stations every 2 years. As far as sales are concerned, that as I was with the CBS system, if you don't make it by the time you're 40, forget it. And that's why I went to Columbia Records. But at any rate, is there anything else that I could comment on for you?
Was there anything you'd like to say, Mr. Thompson?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Is there anything you would like to say in closing? I would just give you the floor.
Well, I think just taking Bob's attitude of and here I'll just say it again, right from a student's notes from what he said. Work hard, be smart, and work the system. I don't know what work the system means, but maybe.
We sure learned that here at the line.
I think for Bob it meant play by the rules.
Okay. I agree.
Well, thank you so much.
Great man, and we're all going to miss him.
Indeed. Yes.
Thanks a lot for listening and calling, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you
okay.
so much.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, 865-9577. Anybody else out there would like to give us a call? Right now we have, waiting patiently on the line, a local 35-year veteran of local public affairs radio, worked under Mr. Zimmerman and spoke today at the memorial service that took place at the State Theater this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Current anchor on WRSC-AM after so many years and decades, Mr. Kevin Nelson. It's a privilege to speak to you, sir. Hello.
Oh, it's a privilege to be able to speak about Bob. And you mentioned 35 years, but of course I started when I was 8.
You're that good.
And I hear Bob was hard on you then.
As I mentioned today at the memorial service, when Bob took over, it was a little looser operation than after he took over. And he came in, I think the first time he came into the station was at night, and I just happened to be there hanging out. And with Bob, if you didn't have a purpose, you weren't there. The first time I met Bob, he threw me out of the station.
That's a great story.
At 8 years old, right?
Yeah.
At the tender age of 8.
Yeah, if only that were true.
Even eight-year-olds have to work the system.
Well, and we had some loud, spirited conversations over the years. At that time, I was making witty comments between records, and I thought I was the God's gift to radio. I had no idea what radio was or what broadcasting was all about, and Bob fixed that. He was the toughest boss that I can imagine to work for, and he was the greatest boss. I have never been with a radio station that has been run as well as Bob Zimmerman ran a radio station. He would make all he wanted you to do was be the best. And he would push you to be the best, and sometimes with very little subtlety. But I treasure all the time we spent together. In the later years, you guys actually got to know him in his more mellow stage. But we went through a series of what we used to call Z-notes. He wouldn't use fresh paper. He would always tear old sheets of paper in half for scrap paper. You'd come in the morning, and you'd see these pieces of paper jammed in your mailbox. You'd walk down the hall, and you could see the big red Z from 7 feet away, and you knew you were going to have an interesting day.
And, you know, something interesting that you said is that when you started out, you thought that you were God's gift to radio. You thought that you were making witty comments. You thought that you knew what it was all about. How many people in radio today think the same way and portray themselves, have that sort of same attitude? How sad it is that people like Bob Zimmerman aren't around anymore to sort of raise the bar, to teach people what real radio is all about, how to be the best, how to be a quality DJ, as opposed to some of these guys that you hear whenever you turn on the radio set today.
Well, and I will also have to say, I knew nothing about the business except the programming side. But as Bob used to say, sales is not the most important thing. It's the only thing. If you don't have a successful sales staff, you're not bringing any money in. And believe me, that can crimp your style. So that programming is part of it, sales is part of it, engineering is part of it, but it all fits together. And if you are a great broadcaster, and Bob certainly was, then a big component of what you're doing is getting involved in the community. Because in a sense, you're making your living off the community. People are going to the advertisers, buying the products, and that money trickles back into the radio station. And if you're on the talent end, trickle is the active word. And you are giving back to the community that is supporting you. And he did that all of his life and did even more of it when he retired from ownership, as you well know, because exactly. He spent tons of time with you and the Lion and doing his best to even bring another generation of people into the radio world.
And that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin, because, you know, it's also sales and community service really is a symbiotic relationship, and you can't have one without the other. Going out and doing sales means networking. It means building relationships with people.
They may trust,
and they may start out as personal and transcend into business and professional or vice versa, but in either which way, you can't have one without the other. You build relationships with people, and that will ultimately become either a business relationship and or a form of community service that you end up doing later. And in a small town, the two are just inseparable from one another.
Well, and I can tell you've actually hit on it, because if you're successful on the programming side, and I did not get into the sales side. I decided, hey, I don't need money. I'll stay on the programming side. But if you're doing that correctly, you're also forming relationships, but with your audience, with your sponsors. And yeah. One of the... I'm just so happy to have been able to make a living here. I loved this area. I think I got a lot of that from Bob, too. But they've been putting up with me for 35 years. So by now, we've got a great relationship going. And I can't think of anything else I'd rather be doing. And even at my, well, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm up every morning at 4:30, and I get out of bed before the alarm clock, and I can't wait to get to work. Bob instilled a love of broadcasting, not just programming, not just sales, but the entire ball of wax. And he was a broadcaster. In corporate radio, you've got bankers, bean counters, people that really have no business whatsoever owning radio stations. Bob was a broadcaster, and there's probably just a handful of them left. And I hope all you, I was very, very lucky to have had decades with him. And I know you people realize how lucky you were to have Bob as an advocate.
Undoubtedly, and if I can just ask you, Kevin, is broadcasting something that you wanted to go into as a permanent career, or is it something that you really grew into with the help of Mr. Z? And if that's the case, I was wondering if you can speak to what extent that was the case.
It was something, and you may laugh, I wanted to be a game show host.
You sound like one.
Well, thank you. You've won the cheese straightener. I used to, as a kid, read magazine advertisements out loud, work on delivery, things like that. And my first plan was to be that brilliant, witty person between the records, get all the way to L.A., and then, you know, pick up the Price is Right. Along the way, I ran into Bob Zimmerman and found out that broadcasting was so much more than just showing off behind a microphone. Again, as I mentioned, Bob loved this area. I developed a deep love of this area. And I left the market a couple of times. I was still thinking about maybe, you know, trying to get to Chicago or New York or something like that. It finally occurred to me I was in an area I love, doing what I love, surrounded by people that I love. And I don't know about you, but for me, that's success.
Well, I thought it was so interesting today, Kevin, when you spoke to the fact that you left the market and you just couldn't stomach working for other people who didn't know what they were doing as well as Mr. Zimmerman did.
He was so detail-oriented. And I've got to tell you, the love fest didn't start immediately. as I mentioned, the first time we met, he threw me out of the radio station. But if you take care of all the little things, it's amazing how the big things will take care of themselves. And once you get used to that, once you get used to knowing that if you need a part for the transmitter, it's probably already on the shelf, that things have been thought out well in advance, when you go to some of these Mickey Mouse operations, it's almost embarrassing.
Yeah. Absolutely. If I could just speak to another point that you made, Kevin, that I think is... that he really demonstrated to us in his retirement is that so much has been made of Mr. Zimmerman, the businessman, Mr. Zimmerman, the salesman, or the successful man. And, of course, so much should be made of that. But what's so interesting to me is here's a guy who had the world on his string, as I played earlier, some Sinatra, and really, you know, could travel the world and just be a man happy and content to live on the success of his life, and instead he turned around and he spent years and years and years with us, a fledgling student station. He spent just as much time with students from his classes. I mean, this was a guy who had nothing to gain in a business or financial sense, and yet gave so much of himself to us. You know, we all called him Z-Man. We all know his Zimmerisms, his antidotes for life, and it just speaks to the kind of guy that he was. That instead of, he still went scuba diving and he still went to India and he still did those things, but he also put the time back into the community.
The only thing I would disagree with is you say he didn't get anything out of it. You have no idea how much he got out of it. What he was doing when I worked for him, when he was helping you, was instilling his love of broadcasting in yet another generation, so that knowing that broadcasting would be in the hands of capable people even after, and regrettably he did pass away, knowing that his legacy would live on, knowing that he could affect the quality of broadcasting for decades to come. He was getting a lot more out of it than you might think.
Yeah, I didn't mean to suggest. I just meant from a material standpoint.
Right.
That's actually what I'm trying to speak to. Is this was a man who had a love of broadcasting, as we've all said, and there he was, as you just said, instilling it in another generation. And there's a lot of people, I think, that have gone to Penn State and become very successful who have not given back, not necessarily to Penn State, but just to any succeeding generation. They're content to indulge themselves and just kind of leave it at that. And, of course, there's nothing wrong with that, but it is amazing to me that a man as successful as he would deal with the aggravation, frankly, that we would often give him in terms of the problems we had here and so forth. And I'm glad that he got something out of it on a personal level.
Well, I'm telling you, nobody enjoyed aggravation as much as Bob. And not only did he enjoy it, but I don't know if you knew this, he was a carrier.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, something else that I want to point out, you know, with limited contact that I've had with Bob Zimmerman over the years, and I'm the president and general manager of the station, and have been for some time now, but his mark is absolutely indelible, inexorably linked to every aspect of this radio station. And the alumni will testify to the fact that, I'm sorry, attest to the fact that he just changed everything about broadcasting here at Penn State. He was the one that gave us legitimacy. He was the one that gave us a sense of purpose. He was the one that gave us drive, not only as salespeople, but also on the air. I've seen so many of the alumni, Mike Walsh here on the microphone, Andy Nagy-Paul on the microphone, and when people talk about the way Zimmerman was and the way he treated people, the way he ran a business, these guys run the radio station, have run the radio station, and have treated me the very same way that they say Bob Zimmerman treated them.
Well, it is one of the things that Bob and I had in common was our love of student radio. I enjoyed my time with Bob. I learned more under Bob than any other time, but some of the most fun I had was also working at WDFM. And again, it's just as rewarding for us to share that experience with a new generation as it is for you to experience for the first time.
It's been an incredible ride for, speaking for
myself. We also got Lions' own alumnus, Mr. Horace Hutton, wants to chime in on this. Also remembers Mr. Zimmerman quite well.
Right. When I met Bob, it was in the year 2000. And I know Walsh was telling me to take his course. And
Walsh tells everyone to take his course.
And he's the biggest recruiter for Bob Zimmerman. But back then, I wanted to be an A&R, and Bob didn't really know what an A&R for a label really did, and did they make money? There's so many consolidations going on in the market as far as, you have Clear Channel and BMG and what have you. But when I first met him, he said, if you didn't have talent, I wouldn't talk to you. Is the first thing he told me. He said, I've heard a lot about the promotions you did here with the line and so on and so forth. But his course was used as a barometer for me to see if I really had the skills to make it in the real world. And that's what Drew Hall and Pittsburgh Clear Channel told me, and a lot of people who has taken his course who are making six figures today. They said, if Bob gave you the green light to say that, you can actually go out there, and he believes you can do it, because not everyone should be in sales.
Not nearly.
It's a high turnover job, So if you don't have it, having Bob Zimmerman to tell you, look, I don't think this is for you, going to something else will save you a lot of money and a lot of job firings and things of that nature. But I really, appreciated Bob, because he always told me, he said, I don't care if you're black, white, green, a woman, what have you. If you can make money, that's all he cared about. And he never really took anything for a weakness. And it really woke me up when he told me he lost both his parents at the age of 11. He told me he lost them to a drunk driver. And I'm like, at the age of 11, he has no parents, and he attacked life like no other. Like, he had a passion for life. He had a passion for living. And to this day, I say, at Bob's age, he has more energy and tenacity and determination than most 15, 18-year-olds that I see out here today.
The most passionate man I think you would ever get a chance to meet. And I just want to mention, you mentioned the money is in sales. I'm making six figures, too, but two of them are after the decimal point.
Yeah, well, that's stay college.
Those are the two
you.
Biggest ones.
Yeah.
But, hey, Kevin, any final thoughts on what you would like to leave us with respect to Mr. Zimmerman?
Just that he would be the most proud if you would pass his legacy on to the next generation, instill that love of broadcasting and what it truly means to be involved in the community and to totally be immersed in all areas of it. Like I say, I concentrated in programming, but I am aware of how it all works and how it all works together. Right. Those of us who have the opportunity to be behind a microphone or go out and do the selling or put the promotions together, it really is an excellent opportunity, and we are so lucky and privileged to be either in the broadcast chair or in the sales department. Never forget what a privilege it is to be a broadcaster, and just pass that along to future generations, and I think he'll be smiling on us from wherever he is.
All right. Amen. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that with us. We appreciate it.
And how many times, Andy, have you said the same thing? Behind the microphone is to be in that position is a privilege. It is not your right. It is not something that you or anyone else has a right to. And if you don't do it properly, it's not even a privilege. If you don't do it properly, you don't need to step behind that microphone. You don't need to be in radio.
I think what Andy and I often concentrate on is that there is a craft to this, that there is an actual learning apprenticeship to it. It is not just getting on, and as Kevin said when he started, cracking wise between a few records now and then and thinking that's all there is to it. There's so much to it. There is a world of disciplines to be learned within it, and it is the craft of radio, and that's what being a broadcaster is. Is to innovate, is to, you know, keep it local, it's to concentrate on serving the public and the interest of the license. And I think Bob was all those things.
Undoubtedly, and the other big thing too is the reason that it also is such a huge privilege is because radio, I can think of almost no other better means by which you can serve the community and be a central, crucial, element that can help bind the community together.
A town hall.
You know, exactly, other than by doing radio. Because it's not only going to learn, teach you great life experiences by how you have to interact with people on the inside and as well as the outside off air, but also in what you do on the air. That really speaks to a lot of people, and you know, some people may not like it on one day, but they may love it on another day. And that love-hate relationship is what keeps bringing people back. It keeps bringing in listeners. And whether it's about dollars or not, the bottom line is it's about relevancy. It's about touching people in their hearts and their souls. And that's the sort of passion that you have to spur on and pass down to each subsequent generation. If there was a torch to hand down, it's that.
And for you listeners, if Andy Nagypal, Andy the Annihilator, is talking about being touched in his heart and in his soul, you know it's serious.
Yeah, I don't talk like that too much, do I? 865-957-7865, WKPS. Anybody else out there? Any colleagues, peers, anyone, former students, any student out there that has taken his class, or any Penn State alumnus or alumna that has taken his class in the past, give us a call, 865-WKPS, 865-9577, also on the internet, www.thelion.fm. Mr. Sinatra.
I just want to mention a couple things I didn't hear much this week. One was that many students called him Z-Man, and it was a term not of informality. It was a term of respect. Z-Man was a way to call him almost like your highness, but without, you know, any of the false kind of deification or anything like that. I mean, he was a guy who commanded respect in his works.
Absolutely. And interesting about that is that when I started hearing about Z-Man, it conjures up images of, like, the man behind the curtain pulling the levers.
Yes.
Almost like the Wizard of Oz kind,
yes,
of person. Like,
no, but,
who is
but in
wizard?
A very positive way.
Right, right. But he just the name Z-Man,
right,
around here in the station and with his students does command a lot of respect.
And there were, as I kind of alluded to before with Kevin, there were these Zimmerisms, which were just fantastic lines about how life and how to deal with them.
Nuggets of wisdom, if you will, right?
Yes.
On the line right now is the dear old lady of, no, I shouldn't say that, I probably just insulted her, the fine mom of one John Rayner, who is a radio alumnus of the Line 90.7 FM. Miss Paula Rayner, how are you? Hello.
I'm good, thank you.
Thanks for calling. What are your thoughts here on all this?
I often say when I introduce myself that I'm John Rayner's mother, but please don't hold it against me.
I won't.
The college
anyway,
the
if you could put up with just a little bit of schmaltz, there's something I want to read, and it's very short.
Yes, please.
May I?
Sure.
Okay. It's called The Bridge Builder. A man traveling a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray. Chasm, vast and deep and wide, the man crossed in the twilight there. The sullen stream had no fear for him, but he turned when safe on the other side, and he built a bridge to span the tide. Man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you are wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with this passing day, and you never again will come this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at eventide? And the builder stood and he shook his head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there follows after me today a boy whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been as nothing to me, To that fair-haired boy may a pitfall be. He, too, must cross in the twilight here. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him. And that's the way I always thought of the Z-Man, is that he built a bridge for the young men and women that would come after him. And I will be eternally grateful for what he did for John.
That is so poignant and touching. That's exactly what he was. I was trying to verbalize it, trying to get it into words when I was writing a statement for the staff, friends and listeners of the Lion 90.7 FM, and I couldn't find any analogy, any number of words that could express that. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Paula.
Bye-bye.
Take care. All right, 865-9577. That's a very, sometimes you need poetry to describe what it is that you're feeling.
If you guys want any recited, I can.
Well, just an interesting tidbit about that. John's my best friend here at the station, and he's now in American Samoa doing sales as a true protege of Z-Man, and being very successful at it on an island. And anyway, when John, as some of you may remember, went to Miami and lost his eye, he was attacked by gang members. When he came back, he's very down at the time.
Sure.
And he was at home, and Zerman went and visited him. And when you think about that, I mean, how many people from Penn State, how many of your professors, how many of your teachers, this was in the collegiate, everybody knew about this, but only Zerman went, How many other people would do that, but Bob did it. That really says a lot about Bob. And, I know his parents are grateful for that, and certainly I'm grateful for it, and I'm sure it was a very inspirational kind of impression it made on John.
Yeah, I remember that time he wouldn't even speak to me. You told me he had time. So, yeah, for...
When he got back, I couldn't even go to his house for a few days. I mean, John was not ready to see people, and
quite literally.
And so, I mean, this is the kind of guy he was. I mean, it's so hard to get across all these different kind of nuances about Bob, and it just all sounds like a lot of platitudes, but it was such a real thing.
Right. And he was very close to my mom. My mom, every time she goes to Jamaica, she would send Blue Mountain Coffee to him because that's what he loved. Bob would always talk to her and say, your son is going to be all right. This whole entrepreneur or A&R thing, I'm getting him off of that and getting him into sales and making him some money. And he'd go to me like, Jesus Christ, you have your poor mom worried over there. And, but Bob made time, to meet with us, to talk about what's going on. Even when I interview and I talked, mentioned his name in sales floors, I mean, the upper management, you could see the respect in their eyes of, wow, you were taught after Bob Zerman. You came out of a Bob Zerman sales course, which is highly recruited in the industry. It just says a lot,
Right, and going back to what Mike said, his name, that Bob Zimmerman name, commanded respect not only with students. I don't want people to get that idea. He commanded respect wherever he went. That's just the way he was. When we would discuss things with the administration and sometimes hit a stone wall, and we heard Bob Zimmerman's going down to talk with them, we knew things were going to be okay.
No, it was a relief.
It was a huge relief. Like, when I was a new president of the radio station, and I still am in a lot of ways, it became very frightening for me to have to stand up to these people who, because of the red tape that they put up and because of this, temple that they've erected and put themselves in and locked the doors to, it seems impassable, It seems impossible to talk with them. It seems impossible to get answers. It's, for anybody who's ever had to deal with the Penn State administration, I'm not disparaging them. I'm just saying it can be very, very difficult to get through to these people. And when you heard, when Andy would call or you would call Mike and somebody said, listen, Peach, it's going to be okay. Don't talk with them yet because Z-Man's going down this Saturday.
Yes.
I would immediately feel relieved. It's
his role as an advocate and backer and I like to use the term a champion of student radio, it cannot be overstated. It simply is impossible. I mean, the guy was firmly in the corner of giving students the student-run aspect, meaning it wasn't just a lab, meaning you weren't just going in there and learning what buttons to push. He wanted students to have the real experience of the nuts and bolts, the not just behind the mic, but the whole theory of running a station, of management, of programming, of air checks, of quality control, of sales, of specialty, of course. I mean, this, he was such an advocate for that. And that's when I started the show and I was talking about that void. That's the void that's missing now, is we don't have that champion. We don't have that advocate in you know, and we probably won't for quite a while. Someone who was local and was willing to put their clout and their name and their reputation and side with us, knowing that as students we could so easily embarrass him and we could so easily mess up.
It set
and
him
probably sometimes did.
Oh, and we often did.
It set him miles apart from these advocates of liberal education today. I use the term liberal very loosely here. Whereby, you know,
small L.
Right. Whereby the environment in which you should be learning is a tightly controlled environment where you are not given the free rein to be creative or to make mistakes, where you are not given any sort of control over what you're playing or how you're playing it, where you are given very specific instructions for everything you do, not just which buttons to press, but what to say while you're on air. I mean, a lot of the radio side of Penn State. You look at things like Comm Radio and some of the other things that the communications department has done in the past decade or so. These are very, very tightly controlled. Very, very, they're watched over from at all times from all angles.
They're laboratories.
Exactly. That's a fantastic word for it. They're laboratories. It's a laboratory type environment where you are not even able to make mistakes. And as you guys know, I've said time and time again, we as students of the radio station, we should learn from your mistakes. And plenty of mistakes have been made in the past by the alumni, even people sitting here in the room. Plenty of mistakes have been made by us, the former or the current administrators of the radio station, the current president, general manager, the current treasurer, the current secretary. All this, we've made mistakes, but we should be free to make those mistakes because that is where we learn. In a controlled environment, in a laboratory environment, if you're not only denied quality creative control, but you are also denied the ability to make mistakes, what are you really going to learn? Because when you get out into the real world and you do make mistakes, it's going to be your ass on the line.
Right. Well, that's the interesting thing, too. You should be allowed to make mistakes, but I would temper that or qualify that by saying that you should have a boundary, a parameter in which you can make mistakes. You can make mistakes, you should be able to make mistakes so you can learn from them, but not beyond the extent to which other people lose the ability to then learn on their own and make the mistakes of the future.
Or
those kind of, you know what I mean, those kind of serious mistakes.
Or not beyond the 7-second delay.
Right, sure.
Which we employ here.
Okay.
Sure. And I just want to say that that's the exact kind of person that Bob was when he set parameters.
Well, he wasn't afraid for people to make mistakes. I mean, he knew mistakes would be made. What he was more concerned with than being afraid of some mistake happening. What he was more concerned with is if you were trying, if it was with your effort, was with your dedication. He was much more concerned with your approach than he was, you know, some act happening, some random thing, whether it be managerial, on air, whatever. I mean, he wasn't afraid of people making mistakes.
And let's be realistic here, like someone
and that's
like
rare at Penn State, by the way.
So, someone like you, Horace, when you go out into the radio market, would people rather you had free rein as a student to make those mistakes, but to run things on your own and to learn how to run things on your own, or would they rather you come from a controlled laboratory environment where you really don't come out knowing any more than what you went in?
Right.
You know.
You're right. Actually, when I was going to say something to that extent. I had Comm 283, and they wanted us to make a produce a script and what have you. And then I came from WPSU NPR radio into KPS, which is, everyone tells me that was backwards, but NPR was very dry, mundane, very controlled. I have four or five managers, and they knew I was a student. When I got to KPS, I was just able to be more creative, make mistakes, and have people, you know, be more supportive than, you know, ripping you apart and letting you know that NPR radio covers 100,000 people, you know, per day or what have you.
So. And God knows there was a lot of ripping here on the line 90.7 FM, both on and off the air by many. Hey, on that note, I want to run to a break and come back on the other side. We still have some other callers that we're trying to get out there. And we also have some clips from such radio legends locally and broadcasting legends as Fran Fisher, former voice of the Nittany Lions, as well as former student officers of the line 90.7 FM over the years. All that's coming up next on the other side of the break when Radio Free Penn State continues on the special edition in tribute of Mr. Robert Zimmerman.
WKPS State College.
An open microphone can be dangerous.
The Lion 90.7 FM.
Start your mornings with the Lion 90.7 FM and Penn State's favorite morning show, The Wake Up Call. Airing weekdays from 7 to 9 a.m., The Wake Up Call does it all with sports commentary, entertainment gossip, the latest headlines, and just what you need to start your day off right. Don't want a wake up call? Visit our website at www.thelion.fm and download the latest shows in convenient podcast form. That's The Wake Up Call, weekdays at 7 a.m.
Hi, this is Brandy from Herbig's Austrian Bistro. After slaving away in a tiny little hole, well hidden from the public, finally after 5 years in business, and I might add successful, Herbig's has moved to a prime location. 132 West College Avenue, next to the new State Theater.
Same authentic Austrian food as before, same customer treatment. 238-0200.
The Penn State Marketing Association will present a free concert on Thursday, February 1st, featuring the Clarks with special guests Cloverleaf. Partially funded by UPAC, the performance takes place in the Hub in Alumni Hall and is open to all Penn State students as well as the general public. Doors open at 7:30 p.m. and the show starts at 8. For more information on the Penn State Marketing Association, visit www.psmaonline.net.
Programming on the Line is brought to you by the Student Bookstore on 330 East College Avenue. You can stop by SBS and check out their textbooks, school supplies, PSU memorabilia, and more. You can also check out the Student Bookstore online at studentbookstore.com. Operated by Penn Staters for Penn Staters since 1965. The Big Blue on the Corner Student Bookstore. The Lion 90.7 is sponsored by attorney Andrew Shubin. If that night of partying turns into a world of trouble, give attorney Shubin a call to schedule a free consultation. If you need experienced representation for a DUI, underage drinking, or drug charges, call 867-3115 or check out attorney Shubin's website at www.statecollegelaw.com.
One question constantly plagues Penn State students. What's going on tonight? NittanyLife.com has the answer. The online calendar of events is your one-step source for Happy Valley happenings. To find or post an event, visit www.NittanyLife.com.
Now back to Radio Free Penn State. Call in at 865-WKPS. That's 865-9577.
All right, folks, Andy, your friendly neighborhood annihilator in the house with, who do we got left? Mr. Sinatra, Mike Walsh. How are you?
Yes, I don't leave, actually.
Unlike some of these other guys. Go out for smoke breaks. Also, joining us on the show, Mr. Jay Chamberlain, waiting patiently here, our new representative to the trustees, at least on certain days.
Yes, on certain days.
On certain days of the week. Also, Horace Houghton, a longtime alumnus of the Line 90.7 FM, going back as far as my tenure here.
Yes, no
1995, let's not remind ourselves. 865-9577, 865-WKPS. Anybody out there, friends, colleagues, anybody, family, former students, alumni, that interacted with, have taken a class with, or had any kind of meaningful in a relationship with Mr. Bob Zimmerman, please give us a call. We're dedicating this time right now in his memory to commemorate Mr. Bob Zimmerman for the life and legacy that he left behind and the impact that he made on so many of us here locally and so many of us Penn Staters that have since gone on to bigger and better things, unlike myself here. Anyway, hey, I'm happy to still be doing this. Right now I am going to play a clip for everybody from one of the local legends in town. Many people still may not remember, but he was the voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions for years.
Well, what's so interesting is I've never met this man or Coach Joe Paterno until I went to the viewing
last night.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, I mean, it was like a who's who of I would say State College dignitaries. I guess you could say. I mean. I couldn't believe there's Coach Joe Paterno walking in with a cane, bandage around his knee, and I even offered him a chair, and he wouldn't take it, and he stood in line and went through for the viewing. Of course, the man you're about to play, Fran Fisher, was there, who's probably the one guy who could actually say things like, I broke in Bob, you know, and could actually lower the boom on Bob. And it was great to talk to them. And I actually, well, I'll tell you after you play the clip.
Okay, this clip coming up, recorded from earlier this morning, is Fran Fisher, former voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions, play-by-play. Here's what he had to say about Bob Zimmerman.
Okay, and with us on the line is former voice of the Penn State Nittany Lions, Mr. Fran Fisher. Welcome to Radio Free Penn State.
Andy, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you. You've been a well-known voice on radio here in Happy Valley for many decades. I was wondering if you could share with us some of your thoughts and experiences in the past with Mr. Zimmerman.
I sure would be happy to do so. Actually, I met Jane Zimmerman and his two children, Laura and Andy, first. It was in 1972. I was at a quarterback club luncheon. This is a state college organization. Each Wednesday during football season has Paterno come and preach his Sermon on the Mount at a luncheon. And it was the procedure at the time for me to pick him up after that luncheon and take him out to WRSC to record the pregame show for the Saturday broadcast. And when we went in that day, there was this very charming young lady sitting over in the corner with two very small children, and she wandered over and made herself known and said, "Hi, I'm Jane Zimmerman, and this is my son Andy and my daughter Laura, and my husband just bought this radio station." And that was my first contact with the Zimmermans. And on the way back, Joe said, "Do you think there's room for two radio stations in State College?" And I said, "Well, I was impressed with the Mrs. Zimmerman. I'm anxious to meet Bob." It was shortly after that we got together, and we've been lifelong friends for 35 years.
And what were some of your most memorable experiences, or what sort of things stand out from what you remember about Bob?
My association with him was a little different than I presume some of the other people you've talked to. I never worked for Bob. My sons both worked for Bob. But my relationship was more a personal one with him and his family. And it was a friend-to-friend kind of thing. And we met quite often, had lunch quite often. The families got together quite often, my family and his family. We became very close to all of the Zimmermans. And, of course, Bob was the head of the household. He was a generous man. He was good to both my sons. He was good to me and my wife Charlotte. When we were both hospitalized not too long ago, Janie and Bob just couldn't do enough, and that was the relationship we had. We discussed radio quite a bit. Anytime, as a matter of fact, most of the times we got together, somehow the conversation got around to radio, because I spent a lot of years in commercial radio. He was a super friend, and I never got a Z note, or I never get yelled at. So I don't have quite the same association. Mine was much more personal than professional, and I will miss him dearly.
Well, Mr. Fisher, I didn't realize you were you didn't have any other interactions with him other than on a personal level.
Fine.
So I was sort of hoping to ask you questions about radio.
He was a devout radio guy. He could not stand mediocrity. He demanded the best, and couldn't understand why that wasn't forthcoming from all of his employees. And I know from experience and watching him operate that he was an aggressive manager, aggressive to the extent that he insisted that his employees understand their situation and undertake their responsibility without any questions asked. You can't second guess a guy like Bob Zimmerman, because his success story is significant. And while his management style was, as I suggested, aggressive, it got results. And I can't think of a person who ever worked for him who doesn't at this time have to thank him for whatever success they may have attained subsequent to their employee under Bob Zimmerman. He was a tough guy, no doubt about it. And many is the time I've been with him, and he we're in the car, and he heard something on either Quick or WRC he didn't like. This is before cell phones. It wasn't long before we got someplace and a phone call was in the offing. He demanded excellence, and he got it, by the way. His story is a phenomenal one. After that first meeting, as I suggested back in 1972, his rise to prominence in the radio industry was very, very significant nationwide.
Being that you had extensive radio experience here in State College, especially, what would you say was his overall impact on radio, locally in particular?
He established localness in radio. That was his bag. And in the latter years, he was discouraged about multiple ownership and the lack of local affiliation and local involvement, because he felt as though a radio station should be a significant part of a community. And that's difficult to do when the owner doesn't live here. But he was the owner, and he was involved in State College, and he was upset, to say the least, with the way things have transpired, so that a single owner, for example, in State College, owns the only two AMs in State College, or are owned by the one broadcast entity, exclusive, of course, of WBLF in Bellefonte. But these are things that troubled him, because he was so locally oriented, news-wise, and getting involved with his station in the community. And he had an impact that was felt among all broadcasters in the region, and ultimately in the nation, because he branched out, of course, to have a package of stations in Providence and Harrisburg and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to
share? The only final observation I would make is the fact that Bob Zimmerman's no longer here. He's gone. He's gone under a circumstance that was almost unbelievable, and I, like many, were in the state of shock when I got a call from Laura, his daughter, telling me of his death. But Bob Zimmerman's legacy is here, not just in radio, at the Penn State University, in the community. His legacy will be long-standing, and he will never, ever be forgotten. I love Bob Zimmerman, and I'm going to miss him very much.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fran Fisher, for sharing that with us today.
Andy, thank you for including me in your little package, and you are to be commended for doing what you're doing.
Thank you, sir, and we really feel privileged to be able to have somebody with as extensive experience as yours to be able to share with us today.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Thank you.
All right. That was the voice of Fran Fisher, recorded earlier this morning on the late Bob Zimmerman. Fran Fisher being somebody who was the play-by-play guy for the Nittany Lions here for many years, many decades, until finally retiring. Has also done many great voiceover spots that we hear oftentimes for the student bookstore and many other businesses.
What a voice. I mean, that voice is fantastic. But if I could just kind of finish the anecdote I was starting before the clip, which was a fantastic clip, by the way. I actually made it a point to approach Mr. Fisher last night and let him know something I probably haven't mentioned yet, which is that I'm on the AIG board, the executive board for the alumni interest group that is formed around Penn State student radio, for the members of WDFM, WKPS, et cetera, we're all kind of banded together by this group through the Alumni Association. And one of the things, as we plan for our reunion, which is coming up at the end of March, one of the things that had been talked about were the awards. And Mr. Zimmerman felt very strongly about getting a Lifetime Achievement Award to Fran, and I didn't know if he knew that or would know that going forward. I'm not really sure what's going to happen with the awards now in light of this, or what's going to happen with the reunion. I assume all things will go as planned, but I just I wanted to let him know, and Mr. Fisher was of course very humble, and he doesn't need to be, but he was, and I think he really appreciated knowing that Bob, and I think he knew anyway, that Bob held him in such high regard.
Indeed. We also were hoping to hear from local AM radio WBLF general manager Diana Albright. We had her on the line earlier. We're hoping she calls back so she can share some memories and experiences with us as well. 865-9577-865-WKPS if anybody would like to please give us a call. I know a lot of people came into town today or last night and into today to attend either the viewing or also the funeral services and the memorial service that took place at the State Theater this afternoon at 1 o'clock.
Which, by the way, Bob was a huge benefactor for. He raised a ton of money to restore that theater, and I thought it was an extremely well-picked venue considering his contributions to that restoration.
That's right. He was a big advocate of that, and that was also another central focal point of what's going to become and hopefully continue to flourish to become a centerpiece of community involvement as a non-for-profit organization. We're going to be featuring some representatives of the State Theater coming on in the coming weeks here on Radio Free Penn State.
And if you go outside the State Theater, you will see a brick with Bob Zimmerman's name on it. He bought a brick as a contributor.
He did a lot more than that.
He did a lot more than.
But you can walk all over Bob Zimmerman if you want.
Quite a few of those bricks probably had a lot to do with them, I'm sure, even if they don't have his name on them. So that's the story there. While we wait any more calls, I got a couple other clips I'd like to play. Right now, we're going to hear from a few former student officers of the Line 90.7 FM. The first one coming from. This being the general manager of the Line 90.7 in 2001 into 2002, Mr. Mike Gogel. This is what, and he's, by the way, is heavily involved right now on our Penn State Student Radio Alumni Interest Group.
He's the first, he's on the first board general manager of the station as the Line 90.7 FM, correct?
Yeah.
Well, after Mike Walsh, right?
The Line was actually my baby, but
yeah, yeah. When you renamed it from KPS to the Line, per se. Okay, here's what Mr. Gogel had to say about Mr. Z.
This is Mike Gogel, Penn State grad, 2002, and former general manager for the Lion 90.7 FM. Bob Zimmerman was one of the greatest teachers I'll ever know, I'll ever have. He taught us not only about the radio industry and how to get into radio and how to ultimately be successful at it, but he taught us about life. He taught us what happens after college. And a lot of people don't do that. You know, it's all great and wonderful, but then all of a sudden, reality 101 hits you, as Bob would call it. I'm gonna miss Bob. Gonna miss him laughing. Gonna miss his frank honesty and his jokes. He was a great friend, a great mentor, and someone I will be telling my grandkids about years from now. Bob, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of the things that you've done for me over the years. I truly can't thank you enough.
Mike Gogel, Line 90.7 FM, student GM, 2001-2002.
And notice he didn't talk about Bob as being the man in the high tower, as it were. No, he was a mentor and a friend, as he was to so many people that took his classes and so many students that entered this radio station.
You know, it's funny. I remember back in December, there we were after we had our most recent meeting with Mr. Z for the Alumni Interest Group. Regarding the upcoming reunion, and
Chili's or at the
Hint Center,
yes.
And you know, we were there with along with Chris, whose clip we're going to play coming up, and Mike Gogel and a few other people, and we all went back to Mr. Zimmerman's house afterwards to watch the game.
All right.
The Penn State game. It was more than just a working relationship, whether it was a volunteer sort of enterprise like what we do here with the Line 90.7 FM. It truly was a very much a personal relationship. There was camaraderie. In a way, it's almost like a fraternity.
Right.
Not by a specific set of rules and circles that we had to go through to pledge or join, but there was a sort of fraternal bond that we were all able to come about with what we did and what we had to do and to make things great and to make things happen with the radio station. It truly is a testament to striving for excellence, which is what all student endeavors should be all about at Penn State or any college or any university. Radio, just again, being one of the greatest opportunities to draw the excellence out of oneself.
Do we stop hazing people?
Well,
well, that still happens.
Break my eyes. Go for it.
He loved to talk shop, and he loved to talk about the industry, and he loved to talk about radio, the business, and he loved to talk about all these things with younger people and kind of clue them in and give them the benefit of his experience. And that's why he would have us at his house. And you could tell, I mean, the man was just excited to speak about different things. And we had lots of good times at his house. I remember John and I helped him move. we didn't help him, you know, we went and got boxes from his son's house to, or his son's office to his house. And the reason we did that wasn't, you know, I don't believe, I can't remember if he paid us or not, actually, but the reason we did that was because we just liked to be around him. We liked being around him and just getting, you know, the little nuggets of wisdom, finding out things that we weren't going to find out in class, other than his class. You know, I mean, he was just that kind of guy. And when you would talk shop, and when he knew that you were a guy who really, really, like we said before, wanted to learn the craft of radio, he would just shoot the breeze with you just like any other guy. And, you know, I mean, for not just for people of his generation, but for people of his position, it was just so unusual and it was so rewarding. And like I tried to say in the Collegian, it was inspirational. You weren't afraid of the things he said. You weren't, once you got to know him, you weren't necessarily afraid of him. you weren't bored ever. I can't think of any time I was ever around Bob that he was boring. The man was incapable of being boring. It was mentioned at the memorial today, you know, sometimes he could be profane. And it's true, but with Bob, profanity was an art form, you know. Bob was profane in a way that served a purpose.
Right. And every word he said meant something, and he didn't use profanity unless he was damn serious about what he was saying. And boy, he sure wanted you to know he was being serious.
And it was grammar. And it sometimes was for humor. It wasn't necessarily for anger. It was for humor as mm-hmm. well. And the way I like to put it is, the man employed profanity, but he never was vulgar. I never felt that he was vulgar in any situation. Of course, I'm fairly tolerant of vulgarity.
That's why I was worried when you started saying he loved to talk I was like, yeah. What? He loved to talk what?
Shop.
He loved to talk smack on people?
Speaking
That's not the Bob
of,
I know.
Speaking of talking shop, the next clip I got coming up, this is from the same year when Mr. Gogel was the student GM, his vice president, Mr. Chris Bucognani, who since after that, a couple years after that, went on to become the Lion 90.7 FM advisor for a short time. For a pittance that he got from student affairs. He is still in the community and helps us out locally whenever he can in advising the students here on the line 90.7 FM. This is what Mr. Chris Bucognani had to say about Mr. Z.
My name's Chris Bucognani. I started here at the Lion as a sports broadcaster, went on to become the student vice president, served as the advisor for a time, and still serve on the alumni advisory panel for the station. And that's how I came to know Bob Zimmerman in his capacity as our faculty advisor. I was also a student of his. I took two courses from him, probably two of the best I took here at Penn State. And throughout the time that I knew Bob, he came to be a valuable mentor and a great friend, and I'm really going to miss him quite a bit. I got the news of his passing this Tuesday morning over an email when I was at work, and it was pretty tough to take, and I then had the unenviable task of having to call Andy and break the news to him, so already feeling pretty bad about it. It took on a different degree of reality for me when I had to talk to someone else who knew Bob the way I did over the phone and break the news. So after talking to Andy, I was feeling pretty down in the dumps, and I was on my way home driving, and in the midst of my sorrow, all of a sudden, I had one of those moments of clarity and just kind of had to laugh because I remembered Bob, and I remembered him in a great way. I recalled him telling me once, and I don't know whether he took this belief with him to the end of his life, but at one point, he believed that there was no afterlife. You're pretty much gone, and that's it. That's it. Lights out, and you're done. I don't believe that, and I know driving home that day, I could sense and know in my heart that Bob didn't just wink out of existence. He's out there somewhere. He's in a better place. And when you hear these stories about people who have near-death experiences, they talk about traveling down a long tunnel filled with white light. And I burst out laughing because I pictured the way Z would go into those final moments here on this earth, and I guess first few moments somewhere else. And I just pictured all of a sudden Bob's there surrounded by this white light, and he looks around and he's like, what the f*** is going on here? What's all this white light? And everybody I've told that story to who knew Bob has, in the midst of all of our sorrow, still had to crack a smile and give a laugh, because ultimately you remember the great things about him, and that was Bob, just a genuine, caring, honest human being who did a lot of great things for himself, but also for his industry, for his alma mater, and for the people who went there. I really thank Andy for giving me the opportunity to come on here, and I can't think of a more fitting forum for this type of memorial than the airwaves of Penn State's student radio station, because that's really what Bob cared so much about, and he did believe, were it not for the opportunity he got here at Penn State, he would not have had the success he had. And over the course of this week, as I've sent out emails and made phone calls breaking the unfortunate news to people who had him in class or who knew him through the Lion, it struck me that almost every one of them is having success in the broadcasting industry. And they're there because Bob inspired them to pursue that career. And in many cases, because Bob made the phone call that got them the job. He cared so much about his students and so much about Penn State that the student radio community, everyone here at the Lion, and really everyone in State College and Penn State and beyond, we're going to acutely miss Bob Zimmerman for a long time. He was a great inspiration in my life, and I'll take the lessons he taught me through the rest of my days. And I just, again, want to thank Andy for giving me the chance to come on and share that.
You're welcome, Buck. That's our own Chris Buchignani, locally here, still in town, sharing his thoughts and experiences and memories of Mr. Zimmerman.
It's very striking the way he says, you know, how hard it is to make that phone call, how hard it is to see that email. When I got your email, Mike, it said, I was talking to my girlfriend on the phone, and it said, Z-Man passed. That's all the subject line of the email said. And there were a bunch of emails before it, and I clicked on it immediately. Because I thought that, you know, Z-Man passed on what? Like, it didn't quite connect that Z-Man could be gone, you know? And I'm sure it was the same for all of you. Like, Z-Man's gone.
It was a shocking subject line.
It's, yeah. Right. It's like, how can you equate Z-Man passing with the actual man not being here? And I was on the phone with my girlfriend, and I stopped talking, and she said, are you still there? And I said, yeah, I gotta go. And I read the text of the email, and as I said, with limited contact with Bob, I was utterly heartbroken, because anybody who knew anything about the station knew how important he was to all of us. And so I had to call some people who were students of his who didn't get the email, and everybody that I talked to reacted the exact same way.
Right.
It's like, you know, you don't expect giants like that to pass. And as I was talking to the people at the Collegian when they interviewed me for the story about his death, they said, "How's a radio station going to survive without Bob Zimmerman?" And I said, "Well, how did Luke Skywalker survive after Obi-Wan died?" And I thought that sounded stupid. And I said, "Listen, rock and roll after the death of Elvis has never been the same. Will not be the same. It survived, but it wasn't the same. So the same thing when Humphrey Bogart died, a large piece of cinema died with him. There's nothing like that. When Bob Zimmerman died, a large part of what makes not only the Lion 90.7 FM special, but what makes broadcasting, capital B broadcasting special, went with it. It died as well. And that's something that you don't rebound from. I mean, you move on, you change, but you don't come back the same way. You just don't. We don't exist in the same capacity as we did when Bob Zimmerman was around. And that's the exact same reaction that I got from everybody that I talked with about his passing.
Amen, Peach. And for somebody like you to speak about this whole thing in such a heartfelt way is truly amazing and commendable, given the fact that you did have such little direct experience with him yourself, as compared to so many of us older folk here.
I would say it's a testament to who Bob was. For
yeah.
To see Peach even speak so poignant and just be emotional when he's speaking, that just shows you who Bob was. But like I told Chris yesterday, I said, Bob wouldn't want us all sitting here crying at this viewing. And I said he would, you know, not that we're going to be cracking jokes, but as soon as Joe Paterno came in, you know, Joe said a couple of things and we started laughing. And Bob would want us to work hard. That's what Bob would want us to do. Bob would want us to make this reunion the best reunion it ever was. Bob would want us to use everything that we've learned from him to make everything in our life better. So on that note, like I told Gogel, it's everybody from WKPS and WDFM, and I'm not even going to mention any of the call letters, but we need to stand up and we need to just, you know, use this as a rallying cry to unite and, you know, just do the best darn thing we can do for Bob smiling down from heaven. And he can say, look, you know, at my work and my children, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Now, calling back in, as per yesterday, calling back in for the second time all the way from an American Air Force base in Germany is Line 90.7 FM alumnus Rob Joswiak, coming back for round two, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I think it's fitting that you guys are going to the second hour, and we always, on the sports folks, work with the Andy, and it's only fitting. I had some engagements already squared away even before I found out, so I didn't think I'd be able to call in tonight. So I called in last night, but then as soon as I got home, I'm thinking, I hope they're on air. I'm going to listen, and sure enough, you guys were, so it worked out.
Joss.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, man, listen.
Yo, I didn't hear you say DJ Farrow at one time, or Horace.
That's Horace, isn't it?
Yes, yep. It sounds like him.
Man, I got a picture of you and Z. I'm going to email it to you.
Oh, really?
I'm sorry, I'm shaking. I haven't been the same, man. You guys are right, and everything anybody said is right. I mean, Mr. Z, he would be, like Book said in that piece he put together, he would be cussing, like, about that light, and he wouldn't want us to sit here, like, you know, moping around about him, but... Oh, man, Andy knows I said yesterday, and this isn't about me, but this is Bob, and this is Bob in my life, and Mr. Zimmerman. I never really called him Bob. I know people always said that, you know, if you know, he told you to call him Bob, you were good with him, but he just meant he was so big in my eyes that the way I was raised to call him Bob just wouldn't do justice. So I'm a broadcaster in the Air Force now, and Mr. Z did the same, I think, with Armed Forces Radio back, you know, during the Korean War. But I have pictures from May of 2003 when we were at his house for us after his broadcasting sales course. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
And I got one of you and him, man, and you guys are just laughing. And if Andy, after I, you know, go off, I'll give you my email. Just email me and I'll email it to you.
That'll be great.
And I got
Thank
one
you.
Of me and him, and I got one of him and his wife. And it just epitomized everything he was, you know. I mean, the beautiful house, but just the smile and the down-to-earth and have you over. The hardest part for me, guys, is even though I'm in Germany, I have this telephone over the internet. The technology is phenomenal, and I talked to Mr. Zimmerman on January 2nd. I called him in December, and I guess he was really busy in December, and he didn't call me back. And he always called. I'm sorry, I'm shaking right now. So,
take your time.
I don't sound up to snuff on air wise. I apologize.
It's all right.
He called me back January 2nd, and I called in last night, and you know I said a bunch of different stuff, but. Since then to now, I've just been trying to think about every word that I discussed with him. And, you know, like I talked to my dad, and I just been so shook up about it. And I said, you know, Dad, it's so weird. It's like I hung up the phone, and, you know, we talked. You know, he was talking about, you know, the reunion you guys were mentioning earlier and, you know, how it was in March and all this and that. And, you know, business as usual with Mr. Z. I mean, that was him, you know, and some of his business ventures beyond broadcasting that he was into, you know, recently over the last, whatever, 5 or 6 years. And, you know, some advice that he was giving me and asking me how things are going over here and telling me places to visit in Europe because Lord knows he's been to every spot over here. And I mean, I just in the end, Bob cared. Mr. Zimmerman cared. And that's the thing. Like, he might have been tough on you. He might have showed tough love. He might have used vulgarities. That's true. There's no doubt about it. But just like you guys were saying, right on the head, when he used the vulgarity, he used it and it meant something. And you knew it meant something. And whether it was as a joke, whether it was positive, negative, to motivate you, whatever it may be. And he's just really going to be missed. You know, he said, I guess you guys would know more, but he mentioned to me that, you know, two students ended up having to take him to the hospital late last semester. And you know, I think the only thing keeping me from really being down is he laughed going, oh, I do not mean this in any way negative. Mm-hmm. But I talked to him on January 2nd, and he literally said, yeah, I almost kicked the bucket last year, but those two guys took me to the hospital, and then of course, he used the vulgarity,
right.
and they saved my life. Well, let me tell you, they got A's. And, you know, and I didn't even say anything. I was just laughing because, you know, And then that's, and I got the email from Book this week, last night, and I was just crushed.
Yeah.
Absolutely crushed. I'm just going to say one more thing. I don't want to take a lot of time. Mr. Zine, I think it was my senior year, I helped him out with his broadcasting sales course. I did like an Independence Day internship type deal anyway. We were walking up to the new parking center they have up behind the Kern building. And he was talking about his investments, you know, and, you know, I think he was into hotels recently.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a comment about churches and stadiums always being the biggest waste of money for a building because they were only full once a week at best. And I said to him, because, you know, this is my background, and this kind of touches on what Book was saying, I said, Mr. Z, I go, that might be true for stadiums, but it isn't for churches. The church is always full. And he laughed. Like, it was almost like the one time in my life I could maybe stun Mr. Z, he just laughed. And as cool as he was, he just replied, and he goes, that's cool, that's cool. And that's what I take, you know, right now. I mean, I really believe I am where I am in my life today, and I know and you know, talk about his legacy and everything. We the students that he affected, any person he's ever been around, professionally or personally, that's how, in my opinion, his legacy lives on. Because, I mean, you know, you can own companies, you can manage people, and teach people, you know, be a professor or whatever, but when you truly care about people, and those people know it, and they make decisions in their life based on what they've gotten from a person, obviously this being Mr. Zimmerman, that's where, I mean, for the rest of my life. And I even called into Fred Hansberger, for those of you from the Pittsburgh area, he's a big radio guy, KDK, yesterday, and he admitted on air that Mr. Z discovered him in McDonald's years later, and now he's like a big deal. So I appreciate your time, guys.
All right.
He's going to be sorely missed, but I wish I was in State College to go to the memorial services. I appreciate your time.
Right. Rob, hold on the line. I need to get your information. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And
all right.
Mr. Z, we're all going to miss you, sir.
All right, Rob, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for all of your testimonials here, and we really appreciate it very much. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's continue on with the show here, guys. Just to kind of get a sense of this, to kind of tie things together and come full circle with all the things that have been said here by Rob as well as by Chris, and some of the things that were mentioned today earlier in the memorial ceremony that took place at the State Theater. The one pastor got up and spoke about how Mr. Zimmerman, you know, wasn't necessarily a very religious man. But, you know, we all believe that there is definitely an afterlife. Whether Mr. Z necessarily believed that or not, we don't know. But there certainly is. And life on Earth is really just but a season, if you will. It's just but a short time, but life doesn't end. There's a spring after the winter of the material earthly life that we have here while on this planet.
Once again, very poetic.
Yeah, and it was kind of got into the metaphysical, but it was it was truly something that was kind of uplifting and really, I thought was spoke to the whole human dimension that makes you want to just look up to something that is greater than each and every one of ourselves, and that makes us want to continue to strive for something that is greater than each and every one of ourselves, to be something greater with the limited amount of time that we have here. And I think the greatest way to honor somebody like Mr. Z is to continue in that fashion, in that legacy, in those footsteps, to be the best that we can be. And that's going to be a little bit of the clip I'm going to play by Mr. Zimmerman coming up here before we close out in the next 20 minutes. Mike.
The Reverend had a great line as well. He said, you know, to everything there is a season. And of course, we all know the verse from the Bible that the birds made famous. But
the band, the birds, yeah.
Yeah.
Solomon in Ecclesiastes, by the way.
Well, and of course, our resident Bible expert,
Brandon Peach.
But, you know, the line was, there is a spring and a summer and then football and then winter, you know, and those were the four seasons to Mr. Z. And I thought that was a terrific line. And I think they'll get back to the serious point you were making, Andy, is, you know, what he was saying is that our lifespans here, our lifetime here, is but a season, and you know, perhaps the season has ended for Mr. Zimmerman, but that is not the end for Mr. Zimmerman, as I believe, you know, basically what the pastor was trying to say, and also saying, you know, that there were so many people that he touched, as was evidenced by the amazing turnout at the memorial. I mean, it was packed, and the guy, it speaks for itself. You know, the viewing, the memorial, everything everyone says about him. You know, I just rarely hear a negative word. You know, I mean, this was somebody who, in spite of the tough love, in spite of the intensity that Kevin Nelson talked about, in spite of you know, the way he could approach you, he wanted everyone to be friends with him. He wanted everyone to be his friend, but he didn't just give his friendship away freely. You had to earn it by not being, you know, some dumb dummy. You had to show him that you had what it took to be someone of merit. If I could just mention some of his Zimmerisms, or at least a few of them. One about what it takes to be successful. To be a successful person in life, you have to be emotionally stable. And he would just hammer that point home, that emotional stability, it was very important. And he said that was the one people frequently had the least of. He said you had to be intelligent. You had to have a certain amount of wherewithal, intelligent-wise. But you also had to have another characteristic, which I just love this word, moxie. He would frequently talk about moxie and about having street smarts, having just a intuition as to how to make the most out of something and have the confidence to put yourself out there and go for the ring when you had the opportunity. And those were three things he talked about nearly every class. Something else he loved to say, and this was frequently an extra credit question on a test or at some point brought up, was the five ways to get rich, which I love. Does anyone, Horace, do you remember any of the five ways to get rich?
Well, you could steal it.
You could steal it.
That's the first one he remembers.
Inherit it, of course.
Inherit it. That's one of my favorites.
That didn't quite work out either.
You could win the lottery. You could marry it.
Marry
it. Which was...
So far, we're all owned four.
That's my favorite one. The marrying one's my favorite one. Or you could sell like hell. And... That's how he said it. You know, yeah, there's five ways to do it. He said, if you can't do the first four, then do the fifth. You know, and this, I mean, these were just such quality moments, you know, and he would just hammer them home, and they stick with you. You know, they really stick with you. And that's the basis of a Zimmerism.
That's great. You know, those 5 points, that really indicates a level of moxie that not very many people have today. Any of you ever drink moxie? It comes in orange cans from New England as an accidental New Englander. They have moxie. It outsold Coke way back in the day. As an accidental New Englander myself, I've had the pleasure of drinking a lot of, it's really foul. Most people hate it. Bitter aftertaste.
The word predates the drink.
Absolutely, which is why the drink got its name. It's got a guy that looks like a very young Zimmerman with coiffed hair, pointing. What we should do is get cases of Moxie in here in the studio as a, you know, sort of remember the guy. Maybe get a Moxie can and bronze it or something like that as a as a memorial. What do you think, Andy?
Sounds like a plan. We'll use it as a fundraiser for the station, which is what Mr. Z would have loved to
sell like hell.
That's right. I'm going to take another quick break, last one, before we come back. On the other side, what we're going to do is I'm going to wrap it up, take any more calls. If there's any out there, 865-957-7865. WKPS, you can give us a call. Last chance. We'd like to hear what you have to say about your experiences with Mr. Z. Also, I got a special clip from Mr. Zimmerman himself from a little training seminar that he gave us once before. Cropped out a little bit of an excerpt from him that will I think bode well for everybody and everything that we've been talking about so far. So Mr. Zimmerman's last few words here on Radio Free Penn State when we return on the Lion 90.7 FM.
Hi, I'm Sister Sylvie, host of the Homegrown Music Show, Sundays at 1 p.m. Tune in to hear the best local and rising national acts in the homegrown genre, including a fusion of folk, jazz, rock, blues, and bluegrass styles. We also feature rare tracks by well-known artists and live in-studio appearances of local and touring acts. That's the Homegrown Music Show, Sundays at 1, part of the State Your Face Rock and Roll Show, every day at 1, here on The Lion 90.7 FM.
The Lion 90.7 is sponsored by attorney Andrew Shubin. If that night of partying turns into a world of trouble, give attorney Shubin a call to schedule a free consultation. If you need experienced representation for a DUI, underage drinking, or drug charges, call 867-3115 or check out attorney Shubin's website at www.statecollegelaw.com.
Hi, this is Brandy from Herbig's Bistro.
Wiener Schnitzel.
Zwiebelrostbraten.
Saft Gulasch.
Nusshänderl.
Schweinsbraten.
Homemade Bratwurst.
Tiroler Gröstel.
Vegetarian dishes.
Fresh soups daily.
If you're ready for authentic Austrian food in an unusual atmosphere, Herbig's Austrian Bistro is the place for you.
132 West College Avenue, right next to the new State Theater. 238-0200.
Will your New Year's resolution involve a commitment to helping others? If so, consider volunteering for the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. An accurate tax return can make a huge income difference for low-income and elderly residents. Sometimes, tax rebates and earned income credit can mean the difference between having the money to heat a home, obtaining necessary prescription medication, providing adequate food, or going without. To register for classes to become a certified VITA volunteer or to learn more about the VITA program, please contact the Community Help Center at 814-234-8222.
Start your mornings with the Lion 90.7 FM and Penn State's favorite morning show, The Wake Up Call. Airing weekdays from 7 to 9 a.m., The Wake Up Call does it all with sports commentary, entertainment gossip, the latest headlines, and just what you need to start your day off right. Don't want a wake up call? Visit our website at www.thelion.fm and download the latest shows in convenient podcast form. That's The Wake Up Call, weekdays at 7 a.m.
Penn State. Only on the Lion. 90.7 FM.
Back for 10 more minutes with your friendly neighborhood annihilator on this very special edition of Radio Free Penn State commemorating the late Robert Zimmerman. Joining me today, we have Mr. Brandon Peach in and out of the studio. It's the current student general manager. Also, some legends of yesteryear. We've got Mr. Mike Walsh, Mr. Sinatra in the studio, remembering Mr. Zimmerman.
Very happy to be here to be able to do this. Very thankful, Andy.
That's right. And also Mr. Horace Houghton, also Lion 90.7 FM alumnus.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on.
It's great to have you here on the show commemorating Mr. Z and all folks that were an integral part with Mr. Z's interactions. Also, on the phone lines, calling in is the former Vice President of Student Affairs and the man for whom the Lion is, I guess, lucky to be here for, in addition to Mr. Zimmerman. If it wasn't for Mr. Asbury, we wouldn't be here probably either. Mr. Bill Asbury is on the line calling in. Hello, sir.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
Good, sir. I'm glad to hear your voice, and I never thought I'd be hearing it again, but... You know, I wish it was under better circumstances, but I'm happy that you're talking to us today. I would like you to comment a little bit on whatever sort of tales you might be able to share with us about Mr. Zimmerman and what he meant to you.
Well, you know the FCC. There are tales and stories that you can tell and some you can't. I'm going to tell the ones that I can at this point, and some other time we'll just talk about the others. You know, Bob Zimmerman was, as many of your listeners and callers have said today, he was a great guy. He was dedicated to students, and what I'm saying is I'm confirming those comments from my own perspective. He was a person who could have been a dean of students. Not many people know that. I don't know that he aspired to it, but meaning that, you know, in student affairs we have this philosophy about challenging and supporting students. And sometimes, you know, you got to challenge students, and other times you've got to support them. And in many ways, as you heard today about Bob, he did that in his own way. Sometimes a very colorful language, but he got his point across. And I saw that in many times working not only with students, but in dealing with him as a member of Kiwanis and as a board member of the State Theater.
Mm-hmm.
He was instrumental as a founding member of that board to help bring the State Theater to fruition. He made financial contributions and he contributed his time and energies. And in fact, many times he came to meetings right after his class, so he was always a little bit late. But it showed you, as someone said earlier, if there were 25 hours in a day, he'd probably try to work all 25 if he could. He was, in fact, a person who would challenge and support individuals, and I really miss him from that standpoint. And in fact, it's been so soon that it's hard to know how much we'll all miss him, and we'll only know that after a few days and months and years, perhaps. Bob was one of those guys that helped convince me that Radio Free Penn State, because it, quite frankly, was Radio Free Penn State that created some of the controversy around the station, as we all understand it. But he convinced me that the station and the license were more important than individuals or shows, and that the opportunities that the students had to participate in a student-run radio station, from a leadership development standpoint, from a accountability and responsibility standpoint, were all worth paying the insurance that had lapsed at the time I got involved. Subsequent to that, I learned a lot about radio, both from Bob and from my experience with some of the student leadership. And Bob was always a person who would, in his own way, as I said, sometimes it came off as he didn't particularly think highly of individuals, but that was his way of challenging them to do the best they could do the best they could and be the best they could be. But you guys and others around don't know how much he supported you offline, and with me that was something that convinced me that that the student-run radio station was important, and the fact that you're still around and still running the show, and quite frankly, the station is better today than it was when I first got involved with it, and part of that is due to Bob's idea of having a class that potential members of the station could take, and the training sessions, and I know we work with Chris and others to develop those training sessions, and I, quite frankly, every time I listen, I'm proud of the fact that we permitted the station to continue to be run by students.
Thanks so much. I mean, as a current president of the station, it means a lot that that Bob was around and that Bob was able to talk to people like you, and that the station remains for my generation and for future generations here at Penn State.
Yeah.
Now, I heard Bob Zimmerman, he told me that he used to watch you when you used to play at, now, correct me if I'm wrong, Kent State, and also for the Pittsburgh Steelers, correct?
Yeah, well, he was a big football fan. In fact, I was thinking that where the first time I met him. It turns out I heard him before I met him. I'm driving into State College, I think with my wife. I'd come in for an interview and we'd accepted the job, and then I'm driving in to State College and I'm listening to the radio and I hear this commentator on the radio. Now, this would have been in 1976. Apparently the station manager, owner, what I think it was WRSC, was on the air, and he was making these what I will call excessively conservative comments about whatever it might be, whether it was affirmative action or something. That's the first time I heard him, but I hadn't met him. But I did meet him, and it was around athletics and football and those kind of things, and he talked about how he remembered when I had played for Kent State against Penn State in 1965, and that I had played with the Pittsburgh Steelers from 66 to 69. So very often those kind of athletic endeavors get you off to a good start in talking, but eventually you have to get down to real issues, and things that bring you together. And he remembered me from those days because he was a big football fan.
Well, Bob told me the first time he met you, I asked him when was the first time he had met you. And he said, well, the first time I saw Bill Asbury, he was running for hundreds of yards up and down the Beaver Stadium field. Yeah, I mean, you apparently made a big impression.
He didn't meet me, but he did see me. That was the Kent State, the first Kent State Penn State football game. There was another one about 4 years ago where Kent State should have won that one too.
Well, and apparently you ran for over 100 yards.
I had a few yards and a touchdown. That was a game where I remember coming to State College. At the time, I had no idea where it was. You know, we were from Kent, northeastern Ohio, so we were about an hour from Cleveland, about 20 minutes from Akron, and about 30 minutes from Youngstown. So, you know, we were a suburban school in a rural area that was surrounded by cities, and now we're coming into the middle of the state. Now, we had the bus. If you know where Kent is about 15, 20 minutes from Akron. We had the bus through Punxsutawney and then through this town that all my teammates remember saying, you remember that town we rode through on that bus that smells so bad?
There's many of them here in Pennsylvania.
And it turns out it was Tyrone and the paper mill. So we
have listeners in Tyrone, Mr. Asbury.
Well, I understand that, but you know, the paper mill has been cleaned up, and in fact, I'm thinking that when my house sells, I might even move to Tyrone. So things have changed over there. But he saw me at playing against Penn State, and then subsequently, he probably watched the Steelers against the Browns, and the Steelers against the Cowboys, and the Steelers against St. Louis Cardinals, and a few others while I was playing.
And he mentioned to me that you guys would frequently get together on the weekends and have meals and so forth. And apparently, you're quite the chef.
Well, you know, he's one of those guys that appreciated good food, as you could tell. and I've been known to make a rib or two. And we've had some social events at his house and at our house. One time we had 140 people here to raise money for the Easter Seals, and we celebrated birthdays at his house for Charlotte and Fran Fisher, and he's had other events there. He's got some, in his new home, he's got enough room there that he could have had the radio station in there in his basement and never known it was there.
So I'm sure you suggested that to him, dropped him some subtle hints, right?
Well, I told him if you had to move out of the that plush space you're in now, if somebody decided for whatever reason that you were no longer acceptable, that,
or no reason at all.
Here, Bob, you love the station so much.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just put him down there where you got those two TVs and the exercise room and all that. So that's more space than what they got now.
So apparently, your first impression didn't put you off, and you were able to survive his politics.
Well, I can compartmentalize things, including people, and it is true that some people will make you disconcerted or rile you so much that you know the personalities of whoever they are, you know, they're going to put you off and you can't reconcile that. Right. Bob was one of those people that you could disagree with over certain things but still find a relationship that could be positive, and that's the way it was, I think, with a lot of people. I don't know of anybody who really, they may not have liked his politics or some of the things that he supported, but I don't know of anybody who said, I just don't like Bob Zimmerman. I think he's a bad guy. I don't think anybody I know ever said that.
And as such, he should be an example to all of us. You know, we get so wound up with politics here at Radio Free Penn State that sometimes
you're talking to somebody that knows.
And you know what an example Bob was insofar as you know, he was one of those people who you could look past his politics and say, this is a genuinely good person. Yeah. And that's what we all aspire to be, beyond our politics, beyond our sports. And I heard, Andy, that you're making fun of me for rooting for the Patriots, but beyond our sports preferences and everything else, notwithstanding, you know, may we be aspire to be the kind of individual like Bob Zimmerman that people look at and say, regardless of what he may believe, he treats me with respect, he is a good person, and I as such will treat him with respect.
Hey, I just want to say, Mr. Asbury, I want to thank you for taking Mr. Zimmerman's advice, and, you know, not tanking the student radio station, whether it was because of Radio Free Penn State or any other thing that may have gone out over the airwaves over the years.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you saw the wisdom in keeping it around because of its great potential to do so much good, despite the blemishes of things that may have gone out over the air that may have ruffled feathers on either side of anybody's political spectrum.
You guys aren't Howard Stern, that's for sure.
And we're not trying to be. But we want to thank you for doing that. And I think with a commemoration like today, you can see that it was the right call.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Oh my God. Bill Asbury.
That's right. You mark this day down. What time is it? 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock on January 19th, 2007. Bill Asbury and Andy the Annihilator agree on
that's
something.
Right.
What he did was compartmentalize how he feels about you otherwise.
You guys do listen, don't you?
Sometimes.
All right, Mr. A, I want to thank you for calling in.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing. I think this is a great thing, and the fact that it went 2 hours, that... you know, and there are probably still other people who could call in and talk.
Undoubtedly.
But we wish they would.
Well, you know, it's hard for some people who are really close to him to really express themselves. And,
sure.
And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, you know, you're in a situation where the student radio station, there are certain people who listen and other people who don't. And that doesn't mean that this wasn't a good idea or that there aren't people out there who would be willing to say great things about Bob.
That's right. Amen. All right. Thanks, Mr. Asbury. We appreciate
it. Okay, gentlemen.
Talk to you sometime in the future.
Be good.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, guys. Guys, it's 7 o'clock, and we got to wrap things up here. Let's go around the room, closing thoughts, and then I'm going to play a clip by Mr. Zimmerman that dates back a couple years, a message that he had left for some students here sitting in a sales training session. Guys, I'm going to, Mr. Sinatra, start with you.
I remember at the first reunion, we played a clip. I believe it was a classmate of Mr. Z's. I believe his name was Neil Goldman.
Uh-huh.
And he died shortly thereafter, I don't know, 10 years or so after leaving Penn State. And that really touched Mr. Z. And I remember the clip of Neil was so great. And I just think that Mr. Z would really like what we did here today. Just the fact, not because it was about Mr. Z, although of course he loved being involved, but I think also because we're talking about the love of radio, his love of radio. We're talking about a local issue. We're talking about things that his heart were wrapped up in. And I certainly am really going to miss him just being able to call up and vent and, you know, our shared frustrations with different things. And, you know, I've been kicking myself ever since I heard the news, you know, about these two voicemails I got from him, which were very common. I would get voicemail all the time, and I listen to them and I delete them, never thinking, you know, maybe I'd want them, because it was so, you know, such a shock this week. And I just wish I had those, because they were just so typical of you know, the kind of things he would say. And I'm just going to miss that. I'm going to miss that, the way we would commiserate about, you know, our frustrations, and or just the way we would talk about anything. It's a huge void. It's a loss of a champion for the station. It's a functional void, but it's also a personal thing. And I'm just so glad that we did this. I'm glad you've been doing it all week. And, I hope anybody else who maybe didn't get a shot this week for whatever reason feels free to call you next week.
That definitely. We'd love to hear from anyone else. Any rest of you guys have any final closing thoughts or comments? H?
I was going to defer to Horace first if you'd like to speak.
It doesn't have to be parliamentary procedure, guys. Come on.
Well, thank you. Only thing I would say, I've been I find things like this therapeutic. I find myself drawing more closer to people who have the Zimmerisms in them, who, people who've been around Zimmerman, people who've heard of him. And that's how I've been, you know, living, you know, the memories of Bob Zimmerman. I'm at the point where I told Mike Gogel, and he's telling me about his job aspirations, and I said, you know, we have to step up, and I'm not just talking about step up at KPS. I mean, step up in every endeavor, everything we do in our life, because Bob, he like, would put in 12-hour days and wake up the next day and put in 12-hour days, and not even... To this day, he was doing the same thing, whether it was KPS, whether it was his classroom. Why were you late for my class? I would tell him, sorry. I would tell him, you know, I had something at the radio station, the EAS tape. You know, he didn't want to hear it. He said, you know, don't BS me. You know, come to my class. You have to be on time. And that's one thing, you know, if he sees a weakness, but he sees potential, he always worked on. So I won't have someone sort of doing that anymore for me. But everything that he said, I remembered, and I know he would want us to carry on and carry on strong, and I hope that we do take this time to set aside any differences any of us may have and do this for Bob.
You know, I just want to say this hit me hard for a number of reasons, despite the fact that I didn't know Bob too terribly well. Over break, a family friend of mine died, who's also in the Pennsylvania Radio Hall of Fame. His name's Henry Holman, was a pioneer in broadcasting as well as Bob Zimmerman. And because of that, I had talked to Tom about meeting with Bob Zimmerman sometime late this week. Which is part of the reason why it was so shocking, to hear about his passing. You know, I wish that I had scheduled that meeting, even if we didn't get to meet. The last time that I had talked to Bob in person, I said, I really hope to see you soon. It was at a big meeting. I said, I really hope to see you soon. And he looked at me and said, I hope not too soon, and winked, which I thought was funny. But now I just wish it had been sooner. The thing that really stuck with me about him is that he was here really in the best of times and the worst of times, and would have been here to the bitter end. You know, you heard Bill Asbury talking about Radio Free Penn State almost causing the radio station to lose its place in the Office of Student Affairs. You know, it was said by someone in the administration who shall remain nameless a number of years ago, the first thing to go will be Radio Free Penn State. Nobody thought at that point that the first thing to go would be Robert Zimmerman, the man that really laid the groundwork here. And I just want to say in closing, you know, he was one of those guys who you always expected to be around. And if for some terrible reason the radio station ended up going under, and I wrote this in a little piece that we posted on our website, if the radio station for some reason ended up going under at some point, you knew that Bob Zimmerman would be there.
Right.
With the students as it was going down, like the captain standing on deck of a ship as the ship sinks. Mm-hmm. He would be there until the very, very bitter end. We should carry on his legacy of being here, for better or for worse, for this radio station that he helped build, and follow in his footsteps in making this a better opportunity for students and listeners.
Maybe the administrators and the current occupiers of the Student Affairs Office could take a tip from Bill and compartmentalize how they feel about Radio Free from the rest of the radio station.
Or any part of the station, right? That's right. Tom Shakley, newcomer to all this, but nevertheless, you're right there with us. What are your closing thoughts here?
Very much still a newcomer. And, you know, I've kind of been in and out of the studio, and I've been listening to everything, and we've been talking about this, you know, all week long, and I've been thinking about it, and I've been praying about it, and for me, it's really kind of a unique perspective. I never met Bob, and of course I wish I had. Like Brandon said, we had planned to meet with him, and when I got the email, I was with a friend of mine, and we were planning, you know, we were planning out how the new morning show was going to work out. And I saw the subject line, and I read through the email, and at first I thought, you know, Mike, this has got to be a joke, you know, some kind of cruel joke. And I called Brandon, and we didn't really have anything to say to each other other than, you know, he got the email, and that was it, and that's all we could say. And for me, you know,
the shortest conversation I've ever had with you on the phone.
Right, right. For me, maybe I just have bad timing, because it's not the first thing that's happened. I mean, when I was little, my grandfather came down with Alzheimer's, and he's a good example, because he's like Bob for me in a lot of ways, because he was kind of a titan within my family. He was a world traveler, and he had some of the same aspects as Bob did. He was a teacher, and he had the same kind of values. he didn't, you know, achieve quite the same lifetime. He didn't, you know, he didn't receive a lifetime achievement award or anything like that. But I identify him kind of in the same mold in my mind, and I think about Bob, and without ever having met him, he, like my grandfather, even though he died when I was still young and I never got to meet him as much as I would have liked, I know, and I knew from the incident that I read the email that Bob would have a colossal impact in my life and the way I go about things. And, you know, I never took his class. I never met him. But yet he's still having an impact, and he's going to have an impact on all of us, and it's going to be obviously for the positive. And it's not just at the radio station, and it's not just at Penn State, but it's beyond that. And, you know, that's, you know, what can you say other than, you know, such a great man? He was a titan within Penn State and in all of our lives. So God bless Bob Zimmerman.
Yeah, he was that. He was huge. He once again, larger than life. Just a larger than life figure, and as I said, you know, you and I, Tom, have a lot of the same regrets. Mike Walsh, you told me so many times to take his class. You said you got to take his class. You said to me, Peach, it's not an important class just for the radio aspect or for the communications aspect, but it's an important class for you to take for life.
Well,
which I think was almost exactly what you said. You said it's an important class that teaches you life skills, and I never got to take it. You know,
yeah.
So
I mean, I told that to everyone. I remember John and I were kind of the first to be, as Z put it, can't believe I haven't mentioned this yet, Zimmerized. We were Zimmerized by Z. And, you know, I mean, in the beginning, you know, I got back in some of the early years of the station. He was definitely behind the scenes, and he wasn't really involved, say, with Whitney Vass or some of the early officer classes. And then when I got on board and John Rayner, we just, you know, totally got Zimmerized and just got...
He was a little bit. He came to some meetings and he spoke to them. But I think you're right in that you and John were the two that really, truly tried to study under him as apprentices and really began to really get a deeper meaning of what it meant and what he was all about. Whereas with the other people that came before you, you know, he spoke to them, but maybe they just didn't quite pick it up.
Well, I just kind of felt like the people before me, this isn't to speak ill, but I just feel like the people before me didn't buy into what he was saying.
Yeah.
You know, they had their own kind of college radio preconceptions. And whereas John and I were looking for answers, John and I wanted to know, well, what does radio mean to someone who, you know, does it for business, not just like we were trying to take the station and make it some kind of business enterprise, but we wanted to know about the, you know, like I mentioned before, the craft of radio. And Bob had the answers.
Seek and you shall find.
Bob knew things, and all of a sudden we were Zimmerized. We were believing in it. It doesn't mean that we changed from a student station and that we weren't playing the music we probably would have played anyway. It just means that we were bringing a professional attitude that had, you know, previously did not exist. And John and I were so into this class and were so into just the whole thing of it. We told everybody. I mean, I got at least half the sports staff to go through that class. I got tons of people to go through that class. And I would tell everybody, take the class. Take the class. And I never met anyone disappointed with taking that class.
All right. Let's leave it there, guys. We've said a lot. There's tons more that can be said.
Not enough.
And not enough at the same time. There's tons more that can be said. But I think what we need to do is just remember Mr. Zimmerman in our hearts and in our prayers, and carry on in his footsteps, carry on in his legacy. The greatest way to pay tribute to him and to honor him is to be the best that we can be, because that's what he would have wanted us to be.
And I would urge the listeners to keep your keep his family in your thoughts and prayers as well. As difficult as it is for us to see Bob go, those closest to him are suffering now as well. So just remember them as you go about your daily routines, please.
Indeed. All right. Thanks, guys, for a great show as always. We're going to end the program with a clip, a recording from Mr. Zimmerman that he gave while giving a seminar to the members of the radio station about sales and raising funds, and talked about many other life lessons as well. I'm going to play a clip here that I think is very emblematic of his overall take on life. and his overall message to all the students for whom he was such a great mentor and a great role model. And this will bode well for everyone, and I think everyone can take a lesson from this clip and what he says in it. On that note, I am Andy, your friendly neighborhood annihilator, and we will be back on Radio Free Penn State on 5 o'clock Monday through Friday, as every Monday through Friday on the Lion 90.7 FM. For Mr. Sinatra, Tom Shakley, Brandon Peach, Horace Houghton, Jane Chamberlain, thanks, guys, for making a great show, and for
thanks,
all the
Andy.
Callers.
It was a real pleasure.
Thanks, guys. It's been an honor to be able to do this, and I wish we could do it more. Okay, this is Mr. Robert Zimmerman from 2003, 2004, and this is why he's a great man.
On. How many days a week do you think I was on? Huh? Try 7. 7 days a week. It's the only way you get to be a good announcer. It's consistency, consistency, consistency. One day a week, you walk into a commercial. Now, maybe you don't want to do it in the real world, but you walk into a commercial, yeah, I was on one day a week. You got to be kidding. So, geez, if you had to give up 7 hours a week, could you do that? Huh? I mean, with your busy schedule, could you do that? You couldn't? Do you have a part-time job? What do you do? Huh? Oh, that's the easiest thing in the world. What did you major?
Hotel restaurant.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's a cake management. That's easy. That's almost as easy as telecom. You can't have that much work. I'm trying to pick on you. But all of you, just think what I said to him, I could tear each one of you apart the same way. You're never as busy as you think you are. And if you really love broadcasting and you really want to be in it, you'll work at it. You'll work at it. And if you don't know if you want to be in it, work at it all the harder to find out. And if you find out it's not my thing, which means you can't cut it, that's okay too. Then get the hell out. Because the industry doesn't need you. We don't want you, matter of fact. We only want winners. We don't want losers. Okay?
Approach and identify.
WKPS, State College.
The Lion, 90.7 FM.